talking. This is D.G. Martin. Well, who is the most important newcomer to Chapel Hill during the 2005 year? I nominate Emil Kang. Emil, welcome back to Who's Talking. When you were a newcomer to Chapel Hill, you came and visited with us about your plans and dreams, not just for Memorial Hall and its opening, but also for the whole performing arts scene at Chapel Hill. And, you know, what was your assignment? And did you meet your goals and expectations for 2005?
Well, I think the better folks to ask would be Chancellor Meeser and Provost Robert Shelton. But I think we've gone off to a great start. We have had over 30 performances already this year. And I think my staff, they are just completely depleted. But it was good timing to have the holiday. But every performance we've had has exceeded my expectation. And it's obvious from the full houses that we've had that people agree.
Well, what was your assignment?
Well, my assignment really was to elevate the performing arts through the opening of the hall. And so through these performances that we've had by Tony Bennett and Midori and Nancy Griffith and Bonnie Raitt and Emmanuel Axe and others, I really believe that the community believes that this is a new day in the arts here at Carolina and in the region.
Tell us about the Chapel Hill market for the arts as you saw it as a newcomer coming in from Detroit and from a metropolitan market. You knew that it was going to be different. How did you size it up when you came? And then how did your initial sizing up it couldn't have been the same. So how did what adjustments did you make? And then you're not through, of course. I mean,
we
get back together next year and you'll have another assessment. But I'm curious about how you see it, because you're probably now the expert on what the performing arts market is for this town.
Well, I think it would be a lie to say that there was any science behind it, and we might have done better if we had more time to actually investigate and explore and examine.
I guess I have to preface this by saying, this is an art, not a science right now. Mm-hmm. Maybe there'll be some more science, into it now. But I think the fun, if you can, and maybe mm-hmm. you can just say, DJ, I'm not going to get into that. But the fun is to get your feeling at the beginning and then how you're sizing it up now. And then we'll come back and check it. But you shouldn't be held accountable for having an exact right now.
Right.
So will you bury your soul?
I will bury my soul. I'll say this. I was surprised. And I shouldn't have been now in retrospect, but I was surprised at the overwhelming demand for American roots artists.
Like, for example?
For Bonnie Raitt, for Nancy Griffith, for Tiff Tamarit, for those artists, for the Red Clay Ramblers, the ones that are on that specific series. But I think the artists of that tradition and that genre. I was surprised in that I would have expected more of our community to see Memorial Hall as a place for, and this is where the snob in me comes out, and I'm trying to change this, but this is, I think, who I am, that it would be more a home for the classical art form.
Yeah, me too. And right. So what you're telling us in a quiet way is that even in Chapel Hill, they call us the little slice of butter in a pile of grits or something like that. Even here, you find that there's more of a market in a university town for what would you call it? American
popular music.
American popular music.
Right.
Will the big names in popular music draw the big crowds rather than the excellent classical performances?
I'm not suggesting that there isn't a market for artists like Midori or Emmanuel Axe. I think that it's not what I'm saying is not a comment on the classical artists. It's really simply more a comment on the popular artists themselves, and that people believe that Memorial Hall can and should be a home for those artists. For us, the top three grossing performances of the year are those three performances.
All right, give them to us again.
Bonnie Raitt and then Nancy Griffith and Ralph Stanley with the Red Clay Ramblers. Those three. After that comes Wynton Marsalis and the Lincoln Center Jazz Orchestra. And that I would have expected.
You expected Wynton Marsalis, the big name, that, to be the number one draw?
No, I expected that to be high up in the list. I didn't expect it to be outperformed by the Red Clay Ramblers and Ralph Stanley.
Well,
and maybe I should have been, because I really wish I was, because, you know, Wynton Marsalis is a lot more expensive than Red Clay Ramblers and Ralph Stanley. We could have saved some money.
I want to get to the economics of it before it's over, because I love to talk about the, you know, what makes money and what you have, what has to be subsidized, and how you do that. But right now, talking about the market, you know, you've told us what are the big draws, but who's coming to each of these? Do we know yet who's coming?
Yeah, I think we do, but I'm loath to stereotype an audience,
right.
But what is wonderful about the season, and it's the one area of pride that I have for the offerings we have, is that we are able to serve such a diverse audience base. And for each performance, we actually attract very, very different audiences. And I love that, because whether you're 18-year-old and you're from Dallas, Texas, or you're 85-year-old and you're from Chapel Hill, you can find something that you find exciting for you at Memorial Hall as part of this series. And for me, that's very gratifying, because then the more people that find Memorial Hall as their home, the better and more successful we'll be.
Let me try to ask the question this way. I see several components, and you've probably got the pie sliced into a whole lot thinner slices than I would, but I've got the students, and then I've got the other college community, the university community, staff, faculty members, and other folks who have a strong affiliation with Chapel Hill. Then I've got the town, Chapel Hill, Carver, Orange County Retirement Center, those people who are part of the community. And then I got the far out of town, the out of towners from Raleigh, maybe even far Durham and
Greensboro,
Southern Pines, those people who have to make a long drive. And then just what other slices are they that you're looking at?
Well, we don't know exactly the specifics in terms of that, but what we do know is that we've sold about 26,000 tickets. And of those 26,000 tickets, we've sold 6,000 or so to students. So that leaves about 20,000. And of those 20,000, about two-thirds of those were sold on a single-ticket basis and one-third on a subscription basis. And what is amazing is that even though people are coming from far and far away, it's clear to me that people, most of our audiences are coming from right around this area. So I'm guessing from within 20 miles or so.
And are you comfortable with that? Or do you want to reach out a little bit further and draw people?
We, of course, always are looking to expand our audience base in terms of demographics, in terms of geography, in terms of everything. So the more diverse it is, of course, the safer it is for us.
It's complicated selling to students in the sense that this is essentially all of this is driven by students, and yet students can't afford to pay the $20, $30, $40, $50, $60, $70, $80, $90, $100 and from time to time even higher ticket prices that you gotta charge to pay your way. What is your philosophy about that, and how is it working out?
Well, if you recall, DG, we have this student ticket program where we offer students, undergraduate and graduate students, $10 tickets for everything. And I think that's really one of the reasons why we've been able to sell so many student tickets. I've met recently with some colleagues from Michigan and Berkeley and UCLA, and we are doing a much better job of selling to students.
It seems quite wonderful what you're doing for students. So there are two, you know, you can attack it from two sides. One is, how do you make that work out economically when you, set aside that many tickets at that low price? Mm-hmm. How do you do that?
Well, I think that doesn't work economically, obviously, because we lose money on every student ticket we sell. But I think it's one of the really important things that we're doing. If we're going to be doing such a great service to this community and forget the students, then what's the purpose of doing this?
I don't argue with you at all about that. From the other side of it, though, from a student side, how do you allocate those cheap seat tickets to when there's a real popular concert?
Right.
How do you ration them out?
We don't actually set aside a student section as they have, I guess, at the Smith Center or Keenan Stadium. What we just do is we sell student tickets and we fill in holes where holes exist in the seats. You know, I think it's funny is that there aren't that many performances where students really are clamoring and the general public are really clamoring. It's usually one or the other.
And then when you run out of the allocated student seats, then the students have to pay full price.
We haven't had that problem yet. Because, you know, there are performances like with when DJ Spooky was here, where we sold over 800 student tickets. And our allocation is 400. But we weren't going to stop at 400 because the performance was geared primarily towards students. And for Bonnie Raitt, we sold out. We sold out weeks ago, but we only sold about 150 student tickets.
So and Bonnie Raitt is a big draw for a part of the community that maybe you call yourself a snob on that part of it. I don't think that's right, but we're focused on a different kind of performance as being but within our community.
Right.
Outside the student body.
That was outside the student body.
There's a great demand. Talking to Emil Kang, and we're going to be right back.
You've been noticing the signs for a while. Roughness, wrinkling, irregular pigmentation, or inelasticity. These are all normal changes in our skin as we age. This is Dr. Lori Etter of Central Dermatology. As we grow older, our skin doesn't produce new cells at the same pace. Here are several tips to enhance skincare as you grow older. Use skincare products that nourish your skin cells, such as creams and lotions with ingredients like vitamin B complex, copper, and flax oil. If you smoke, stop. Ask your doctor or skincare specialist about other topical products that can help maintain and protect your skin's health.
For medical or cosmetic questions about your skin, call Central Dermatology Center at 401-1994 or click on www.cdcskin.com. Central Dermatology is located on Highway 54 near the I-40 Exchange. Central Dermatology, protecting what protects you.
Who's Talking with D.G. Martin can be heard once again Sunday mornings on News Talk 1360 WCHL.
Welcome back to Who's Talking. I'm talking to Emil Kang, and Emil, you're the executive director of the arts, and people refer to you, I think, not only behind your back, but to your face as the performing arts czar.
Yeah.
That scare you a little bit, have that?
Yeah, no.
Or do you like this feeling of power now, that whether you got it or not, you like it?
I don't think that's part of my culture, too. My mother would be ashamed of me if I ever
used it. Is she a consensus builder, kind of?
She's a consensus,
quiet,
very quiet.
Modest. Yes. Don't
stay in the background, get your job done, don't make a scene.
Don't. Not only speak softly, and don't let anyone see your big stick. Is that? But all of this is so interesting and fascinating beyond the kind of enrichment of our culture that you that you're a part of in bringing Memorial Hall not just back, but bringing a new kind of level of performance to us. And so we're talking about how you segment it, how you pay for it. I just am amazed at the diversity of your audience that you've described.
Right.
Now, as you sort of size up what's worked and what has worked, I mean, everything we'll say has worked, but what has worked above expectations, how does that change your and your colleagues' ideas about what to plan for next year?
Right. I think it goes to answer your question, DG, you have to find out how you define success, because there are many ways one can define it, which will then lead to how you plan for the future season. We have to remember, first and foremost, we're a university activity. We are serving the university community, which includes the town, which includes the region. But at the end of the day, we are defined by the university, and we really hope to reflect the university's identity in many, many different ways. I have to say, though, that the performances themselves, none of them, whether they're Bonnie Raitt or Wynton Marsalis, make money. All of them lose. because we have a hall that is only 1,400 seats, it's very difficult for us to break even and charge reasonable ticket prices.
You can't put skyboxes in.
We can't put a Wachovia sign over the stage. Although
you might think about that later on.
No, we try to be creative. When the Carolina Ballet was doing Nutcracker, they had their sponsors recognized on this beautiful book on stage and had little kids and dressed up as little mice, turning pages. It was very clever, but you can't do that. And because the seats are so few, and because you want to charge ticket prices that are reasonable, we have to raise funds from elsewhere. And so we are out, of course, raising money right now, left and right, trying to subsidize the program so that we can measure these performances, measure the success in different ways that are maybe more qualitative than quantitative.
Talk to us about the economics of this, because, I mean, there would be a model of performing arts on a university campus that could at least pay its way. And how would that be different from what you're doing?
Right. I think if you look at our peers, none of them have performing arts activities that pay their way. There's one that's close to it, and that's at Arizona State, and that's because it's basically a Broadway touring house. It's basically left out of the university, and all it does is sort of rent it out to these touring promoters that come in and take the hall for about a month or 2 months and present their Early Modern Millie. I'm not sure that's just the vision of what we want Memorial Hall to be. And because, again, we are also looking to become a resource for students and faculty and their performing needs, we are trying to balance all of those dates.
Yeah, now explain that, because, one viewpoint would be that if you're just bringing Bonnie Raitt to the campus and having a performance there, and trying to quantify the enrichment activities for the students based on that, and putting it up against, say I'm a possible contributor, putting that up against giving money for, some particular academic program or other performing program. What's your line as you talk to your potential or your existing people who will be asked to, in effect, underwrite a performance schedule that doesn't quite pay for itself?
Right. The beauty of what we do is that there is something for everyone. And so I would argue, even though, let's say, Bonnie Raitt isn't my most favorite thing, I would argue for the value of her presence here. As much as I would argue for the presence of Midori in recital. I think all of them, I think to have one without the other leaves us a little bit short. The beauty of what we're trying to be in terms of the leading public university is by presenting the best of everything. And Bonnie Raitt is a phenomenal musician. Midori is also a phenomenal musician. Midori also happens to be a phenomenal educator. She holds the Yasha Heifetz Chair at USC at the Thornton School of Music. And she travels to L.A. once a week from New York. And so they're just different people, but I would argue equally important for our community to have, because, we want Chapel Hill and this region to be a destination, and we can't be that unless we present the best of everything.
Well, of course, just having great people on the campus, even if I don't go to see them, stirs up the kind of energy that you like. So I can't attack you very hard on this. I love the idea that all these people are here, even when I don't go to the performance. But it leads to another thing. I think that one of your challenges, and when we talked about this before, you weren't really sure how you're going to work it out. And I bet you're still not quite sure. But that is that Memorial Hall is wonderfully situated in the center of our campus. I mean, it's a beautiful site. But in today's world where everybody drives to the performance, it looked like it was going to be difficult to work out a parking situation, even though it works out pretty good for the Smith Center, when they got 20 to 25,000 people coming in. They've got an organized system and nobody's complaining about it, but you have to walk two blocks to a performance concert and people aren't used to it. How is the parking? How's it worked out and how did you do it?
Well,
did you have more to do down the line?
We have more to do on everything. we made lots of mistakes, but I think things have fallen through cracks. But, the good news is people believe are behaving like we've been doing this for 100 years. The bad news is people are behaving like we've been doing this for 100 years. We are not.
What does that mean?
It means that people expect that, you know, when we started and opened our doors, that we would be perfect. And we're not perfect. And
we're still working kinks out.
And of course, we will probably for the foreseeable future, because we don't have an ideal situation where we have a 400, 500 deck parking, car parking deck. But, you know, that is only one of the major concerns, whether it's, you know, our toilets flushing, is the sound quality appropriate on stage? Are our ushers polite? Are your fellow audience members polite? You know, we've had fights already by audience members, between audience members in the hall, and not by students, but by older, more established individuals. We've had people hit each other in the car accidents in the street. We've had people fall in the bathroom. These are things though that happen in theaters, and people are complaining about the rake of the aisles and that they're too steep for older people.
Okay.
And you know, we are listening. We're putting in new railings, and we're trying to affect some of the sound quality issues that we have with some of the artists that we don't control, but. Again, I think those are the exception rather than the rule. But
they still have to be tended to.
Of course.
Well, which makes your job fascinating, I guess. Well, Emil, focus on parking just for a second, because I think all of us are interested in it. And, you know, in Chapel Hill, we have all of these contentious issues, but if you're going to have likely to have a fight, it would be more than probably about parking than anything else. And arguably, parking is really pretty good in Chapel Hill. You've got, you know, great parking garages close by, you know, close enough to walk from Memorial Hall and close enough to shop on Franklin Street.
Yeah.
But I'm not satisfied, and my fellow community members are not satisfied. We're looking for high convenience kind of stuff. So that had to be and probably has to be a challenge. And so I'm just interested in how you're working with it.
Well, you know,
can you share that with us?
I will get into my own two cents here in terms of what I think of the town, and you can take it for what it's worth, because I'm a newcomer and not someone who's really lived here long enough, but I don't believe the town is investing enough in infrastructure. And our endeavor, the series at Memorial Hall, depends on the town. And I would say the only other activity is the major activities where the town engages the university in terms of public gathering is football and basketball. And the third is Memorial Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Playmakers would be, but the theater's smaller. The Moorhead would also in the Ackland, but the Ackland is not something that's a concentrated activity. So Memorial Hall is that sort of third in terms of volume. And so how we can benefit the town and how the town can benefit what we do is going to require more infrastructure. That means more parking. That means more stores and restaurants that are open and at more different hours of the day and the evening.
Emil King, Executive Director of the Arts, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and continue that discussion about how the town and the university in this particular area can cooperate a little better. We'll be right back.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall. Over the years, you've heard me talk about how proud we are to be a sponsor of WCHL's Village Pride Awards and about the great work we do in our sales and service departments. But nobody can describe our passion and commitment better than our employees. The people at Performance arrive each day committed to a special relationship with you, our neighbor.
Hi, my name is Angela Howard. I work in the accounting department. I'm a senior staff accountant. Been here 10 years. I work in a great office. A lot of great people, a lot of teamwork. The people care about more than just coming to work every day. They care about each other and care about their customers. Performance can't be beat.
I couldn't have said it better. Every day we try to earn the right to be your car dealer as well as your neighbor. And when we say performance can't be beat, we mean it.
Hello, what can I get you?
Ever wonder what you could buy for less than $3?
One small popcorn, please.
For about $3, you can buy one small popcorn at the movies or enough electricity to run your entire home for a day. But if you prefer the popcorn, consider this. For less than $3, you can buy enough electricity to pop 411 bags of popcorn. That's a lot of popcorn. By operating our electric system safely and efficiently, Duke Power is able to provide the reliable electric service you need. And with our diverse mix of fuel sources, we're able to maintain the affordable prices you want. So whether you're keeping your home safe and comfortable, cooking, refrigerating, washing, drying, vacuuming, using your computer, watching TV, or just popping lots of popcorn, electricity from Duke Power is affordable, safe, and reliable. Reliable service, affordable price, good value. That's our commitment to you. Learn more at www.dukepower.com.
Wow, you're really blessed with a beautiful smile. I'm really jealous. Your teeth are so white.
Thanks. I guess I'm just lucky to have good genes.
Now, that's not entirely truthful, is it? Perhaps a little bit of a white lie,
Oh, fine, I admit it. I have this incredibly white smile thanks to my dentist. At Dr. Robinson's office, all new patients receive a complimentary whitening. So maybe I wasn't blessed with genetically white teeth, but thanks to Dr. Teresa Robinson, my teeth look wonderful.
You can hear D.G. Martin with a replay of Who's Talking from the whole week, Sunday mornings on News Talk 1360, WCHL.
Welcome back to Who's Talking. We're talking to Emile Kang, and Emile is the, as everybody knows now, well, the most famous new arrival in Chapel Hill is the executive director for the arts. And primarily, Emile, you got lots of other things on your plate, but these first few months have had to center around the opening of Memorial Hall and paying attention to its launch. Now, the only time, we're talking about parking, and you've gotten to be so diplomatic that you're clearly not telling the whole story about what's worrying you. So share with us the practical, both the problems and any opportunities that you see. What problems confronted you in launching Memorial Hall because of parking, and how did you address them?
Well, the first thing is to understand what our options are. We as presenters, what can we offer our patrons? We tried to figure that out, but I think it was hard to understand the realistic options until we knew what patrons were willing to do or not do. And so without that experience, a lot of the options we presented were...
Some of them didn't sell.
Right.
And some of them did.
And some of them did. So now
which one sold and which one didn't sell?
Well, the parking options on Stadium Drive didn't sell. Parking options.
Stadium Drive is just
below South Road.
So that's two or three blocks.
Right along Keenan Stadium. Mm-hmm. And the parking on Bell Tower Lot, which is just behind the stadium, also is not.
A little too far. And seemingly more remote than it really is.
I think people, of course, walk further for football games or basketball games than that. But whatever you want to say, it's still too far for folks to walk to Memorial Hall. But I also have to say that the audiences that we have differ from one night to the next. While I would argue in basketball and football, they remain relatively the same in terms of the ages, where they come
Your
from.
Fans are different for every single night. And so, yeah, this is really interesting to me, and it's something I hadn't taken into account, that one of the reasons that this complicated maze of parking opportunities works for basketball – and football is that people are coming back every time
they get used to it.
At Memorial Hall, you got a different set of people coming, and it's harder for them to get used to their particular parking options, how they do it.
Because they might be coming twice a year or once a year, or we're hoping come more and more often. But what the 18-year-old needs on campus and what the 50-year-old needs in Governor's Club are two completely different things. And so if we just put out one set of options, they're not going to be the same for everyone. And so how we deal with that, and, even more to complicate matters more is that when the symphony's performing at Memorial Hall, and they perform six times, the North Carolina Symphony, in the hall, their audience, and this is by no means a comment on it, it's just, I think, a fact, their audiences are the oldest audience we see.
And they've got to be close. They can't walk.
And so those...
And I'm one of them now.
those six performances are our greatest parking nightmares.
So this is really fascinating to me because I don't know how in the world I would do it. So And you're probably not through dealing
with
it.
We're not through.
But where are you right now, and what are your ideas?
We're encouraging people to take buses for symphony performances. And most of the communities that exist, retirement and otherwise, offer buses for their
residents. So with Kara Woods and the other retirement communities, you've got a possible solution that works for them.
The problem that we've discovered is a bus logjam, where we have 10 buses, let's say, 10 buses that are rather large buses, all lined up, and people who don't want to wait for their bus to pull up because other buses haven't filled up yet because people are in the restrooms, they're talking with their neighbor in the seat still, and the concert's over, and their bus is down by the Carolina Inn.
Wouldn't have ever. Somebody's going to figure out a nice answer to that, but that's a tough one.
And it's we're getting lots of negative feedback from our symphony patrons. And we're working with the symphony and public safety on that. But that, for us, to be quite frank, is our greatest problem.
That's interesting that the parking manifests itself with symphony goers who tend to be older.
And because the concerts, when people arrive at different times, they all leave at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when we have the issue. It's usually always at the end. That's the problem.
Well, do you have, I mean, surely other performing venues have a similar problem.
Oh yeah.
What are some possibilities for addressing that?
As you're stationing buses in different places, or having people come out, not leave the hall for a certain period of time, and asking them to come out at appointed hour for their bus to arrive. And I mean, those are the only other ways to do it. And having people stay in the comfort of their seat, maybe having some activity in the lobby, where it could keep them occupied until their bus shows up. But, like me, like you, I'm sure everyone wants to go home.
Sure. Yeah, that's right. And so that really does become a terrible challenge. What about the younger audiences? Do they just kind of work it out?
One likes to think so. But, I think one might argue that they tend to be more self-sufficient.
Where are people finding places to park as they come to these performances?
All of the town lots that you mentioned on Rosemary Street are all available. The Moorhead lot, the Planetarium is available. The Nash lot behind the Carolina Inn, behind the university's Newman Center, is available. We also offer valet parking privileges to our donors. We have special disabled parking privileges in the Swain lot. Those are the basic options. And, the complaints we get probably now are they come in once a week. Well, in the beginning of September, they might have come in.
So we've talked too much about it. And I really do feel like we talk too much about what, in some respects, for many people who know their way around Chapel Hill, is really a minor problem. People who live here and who are listening to us know where to park.
Yeah, I would argue, DJ, that we've talked too much about it and that I don't want people to make this a bigger problem than it is because I don't think it is. And your perception might be that it is, but at this point, it's the exception.
I'll just say this. I think it is. It is of course a challenge, as are so many other things. Getting bathrooms to work and all of these things but they're really good challenges. What if people weren't coming and didn't need to park? That would be the real challenge. This is a opportunity type challenge. But I think for those of us who can walk a couple of blocks, which is not far to walk for a good. For a great concert, that there are good parking options in the town of Chapel Hill, in the parking areas, and sometimes those are overflowing, but in most cases, for people who are listening, parking is not going to be a problem. And if it is a problem, it's a minor problem given the great reward that there's going to be in for a visit to Memorial Hall. I'm overwhelmed by Memorial Hall. And is it just because I'm a country boy who doesn't get to see many good performance places? I mean, this is – you're a citizen of the world. This stacks up, doesn't it? This is a great place.
It's very hard to compare halls to other halls. I don't think one can do that. In fact, there is an article in today's New York Times that says with concert halls, it's all about location, location, location. Depending on where you sit in the hall – it changes your experience, acoustically and otherwise. So whether it's Carnegie Hall in New York or the Musikverein in Vienna, these are wonderful halls too. And Memorial Hall is a wonderful hall too for our community. It's a beautiful place. It has a great sense of place, a great sense of history. You're in Chapel Hill. You're in Carolina. It is fantastic for us. And I, again, don't ever like to say, you know, is this as good as so-and-so? I don't think that's fair or right. And I would also argue that Carnegie Hall shouldn't be doing that either. It's Carnegie Hall. It belongs in New York. It was saved in the 80s, and it's a great place to be. Similarly, I think Memorial Hall is a great place to be. It's a beautiful place. It has undergone a magnificent transformation, and I don't think we are wanting of much of anything. I mean, it's fantastic, and it's offered our effort a great, great place for us to present our work. And has also offered a great place for our students to present their work and our faculty to do the same. And so I think for Carolina, it is the best it could be.
Wow. Well, on that, let's take another break. Talking to Emil Kang, the Executive Director of the Arts at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, he and I will be right back.
WCHL 1360. Time now for Biography for Radio with Jack Perkins. Brought to you locally by the Cedars and East West Partners Community.
His mother's horseradish was famous all over town. Years later, so was the 8-year-old who sold it door to door. His story next on Biography for Radio.
Do you know your credit score? You should, because staying on top of your credit could help save you thousands of dollars. You can now get your credit score and credit report at freecreditreport.com.
I go online and in seconds I get my credit report and credit score free.
I can even print it right off my computer.
Staying on top of my credit helped me save a lot of money.
Get your free credit report and score when you sign up for a 30-day credit monitoring trial at freecreditreport.com. That's freecreditreport.com.
Growing up in Pennsylvania, he had little time for fun. His German immigrant family needed every hand to help out. So he worked in his father's brickyard, went to school, and sold bottles of his mother's horseradish door to door. Once older, he began pickling on his own. To impress customers, he used clear glass, unlike his rivals who used dark green glass to hide impurities. The business grew rapidly until 1875, when a banking panic drove him under. To his dismay, the grocers he had supplied refused to give him credit to feed his family. But he borrowed money and started again. His motto was, to do a common thing uncommonly well brings success. He applied this faithfully to his ketchup, mustard, and soup. His company designed an octagonal bottle and a screw cap for its famous ketchup. He modernized and expanded to 25 factories. One day in New York, he saw a shoe firm advertising its wide variety of shoes. He borrowed the thought, and 57 varieties became the hallmark of the giant food empire, founded by businessman and philanthropist Henry J. Hines. For Biography, I'm Lawrence Scott.
Biography is a trademark of A&D.
Biography for Radio, brought to you on WCHL by the Cedars of Chapel Hill and East West Partners Community. The Cedars is the country's premier retirement community. Call 929-1995 to find out more on this very special community. Life has been good to you. Now it gets even better at the Cedars of Chapel Hill.
Who's Talking with D.G. Martin can be heard once again Sunday mornings on News Talk 1360 WCHL.
Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. My guest is Emil Kang. Emil is the Executive Director of the Arts. He's the person who's with the cooperation to help, as Emil would point out, many other people. I've been responsible for this magnificent reopening of Memorial Hall, and we're all excited about it. Thank you, and now let's move on to the next. What are you going to do for us now? And you're so, how are we going to get you to talk about what's going to happen next? And I know from dealing with you before that you will not disclose anything because you're saving it for a big opening press conference in 4 or 5 months when you've got it all lined
up. Much closer than that.
And you're playing it close to the vest between now and then. So why won't you tell us anything about what's going to come on?
Well, the one thing I will say is that it's, you know, this is the work of Don Luce from the Carolina Union and me. The two of us are the ones that are making this happen. And I just returned from, as DJ, you know, a couple of weeks in India.
By the way, I mean, just a wonderful blog that you've got with pictures of your trip that's available. And we'll have that on our website. We'll have a link because we're not going to have time to talk much about your trip to India, but it's fascinating. And so, yeah.
But the reason why I mentioned it,
I meant to ask you that as a mean question. Why would you need in the middle of the season where you should be working hard to get new performing arts and work out our parking
lot?
Why are you going to India?
we went there for two reasons. One is to get Carolina in the conversation that places like the University of Michigan and Berkeley, the Edinburgh Festival and the Melbourne Festival and UCLA are all involved in. And we hadn't been involved in. And that's this. The whole global arts conversation. And that's number one. Number two is to actually bring this phenomenal acting company, this theater company from this remote part of the world on the border of Burma to come to Chapel Hill to present their work. This is a remarkable man named Ratan Tiam who believes wholeheartedly that the arts are an instrument of social change. And he is known for his very, very acidic and caustic commentary on his own government, on world politics, and he uses theater to deliver that message. And it is powerful. And bringing him to Chapel Hill and his company will be a great treat.
And is he coming?
He's coming.
Next year?
In October of 2006. No, their company will be here.
And will that be your signature? Will that be the
It will be deal? The tall horse of next year. As I like to put it, for those who have seen Tall Horse, it's like the Tall Horse.
Well, tell us how will we look for this? What is the name of the company, and what will be the headline?
The company is called the Chorus Repertory Theater of Imphal in Manipur, India.
And they perform in English or in one of the Indian languages?
It'll be in Manipuri, which is the local language of the people from the state of Manipur.
How am I going to understand what they're doing?
You won't. But you will through context. It is a very authentic art form, but the commentary that they offer, it doesn't require any knowledge of the language.
Well,
that's how powerful it is.
What else? What will you need to balance? What kinds of things will you need to balance?
I think people ask how are you going to follow this season without disappointing anyone?
Right,
and that's hard because. We wanted this to be a blockbuster year, and we think it is.
Let me just put it economically. You got more money to subsidize this year than you'll get next year. Is that sort of right?
Yes, and so the following year.
And so there won't be – I shouldn't say – I mean, let me characterize it, and then you correct me. There won't be as many headliners, certainly no Tony Bennett's or
– There won't be any Tony Bennett's, but we will still have lots of – it'll be a fantastic season. We will have – We're having a couple of really fantastic symphony orchestras, a couple of the world's greatest coming.
Wow.
We also have a couple of the world's greatest dance companies. We have two, I would argue, of the world's greatest popular artists coming. It's going to be by no means a step down from this year.
Can I interrupt you about this? Because I know you're not going to tell me any more names, or would you?
No.
Any more names? Okay, no more names. How do you all do this? Do you and Don, I mean, do you two guys sit down in a room and say, who could we get and how are we going to do it and brainstorm it? Or how does this selection process
Between,
work?
Between Don and me, we have a vast network of colleagues around the world, of artists and artist managers. And because of those relationships that he and I both have, conversations never end. They are always going. And you know, artist managers might call us and say, have you thought about this person? And we ask, well, is this person available? Or is that person on touring? Or if they're not, can we make them tour? Can we have them stop? And then trips like that to India also spur lots of other conversations with other presenters who are on the trip. And it's an organic process that never ends, and that happens all the time. It's been going on. We're working on artists for 2008, 2009 right now. And so it just it never stops, and it's we're going to New York in about a week, Don and me, to continue the conversation with a couple of other artists and arts managers. We have this annual event called the Arts Presenters Conference, where we meet with hundreds of people, and hopefully we'll finalize the season there.
I'm curious about bringing a nationally known symphony orchestra to Chapel Hill, and here's the thing that just jumps out at me. You're bringing 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 people.
130.
130 people, and putting them up, tending to them, just even if they were coming for free, taking care of them would be a very expensive proposition. Then I start thinking about union wages and all of this. I mean, how many dollars does it take to bring a, I mean, just what are the range of dollars that it takes to bring a symphony orchestra?
You know, there are artists like Tony Bennett, and there are symphony orchestras, and those are probably two of the – those categories of artists are the most expensive to bring. You're right. And orchestras in particular because of the fixed cost that they carry. Bringing a symphony orchestra is not something you do for money. You do it because you believe it's important to the mission.
But there's an economics involved, and I was asking you, I mean, what are the ranges of cost, I mean, to do this?
From very expensive to outrageous.
Right, I mean, but like $100,000, $200,000?
Somewhere in that range.
Well.
Yeah, somewhere in that range. And we're talking that we're doing this for different reasons. And, you know, I really believe that I can go out and raise money for having orchestras visit Chapel Hill because I think it's important enough. They don't only need to go to Carnegie Hall and the Kennedy Center. They should also be coming here. And whether it's the Vienna Philharmonic or the Cleveland Orchestra, they should be coming to Chapel Hill.
It's like a basketball team playing a number one rated team. It gets attention even if there's some money lost in the, you know, that's worth paying or worth going to a bowl game even when it costs you money to go sometimes.
Right.
I wish I had a better idea of comparing these sports analogies, but I do it only because you said when you came that you wanted the arts to be competitive as a draw and as a contributor to campus life as basketball and football. And are you there yet?
I've said this in the past. The arts are a journey, not a destination. And I think we have just begun the journey and there is no finish line. And it's the one place where I think we diverge from athletics in that there is no specific endpoint. There's no place. There's no championship.
Get the championship and celebrate on Franklin Street. You just got to keep working.
You just keep going. And that's why I think it's really important for everyone to actually appreciate where we are when we're where we are. I mean, it's about now, and it's really what it is. I'm too philosophical there.
No. Well, you're a great combination of philosophy and action, and thanks for sharing both of those with us. I wish we had more time to delve, and will you come back sometime soon and give us another
Absolutely.
Update? Thanks a lot. Thanks to Emil Kang, the Executive Director of the Arts in the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, and thanks all y'all for listening. We'll be back same time tomorrow.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Automall. Over the years, you've heard me talk about how proud we are to be a sponsor of WCHL's Village Pride Awards and about the great work we do in our sales and service departments. But nobody can describe our passion and commitment better than our employees. The people at Performance arrive each day committed to a special relationship with you, our neighbor.
My name is Mike Self. I've been here 14 years, and I love it. I've done about everything here, from parking cars to Chevrolet Technician of the Year, and I've done a little bit of everything here. We all strive for the same goal, being number one. First appearance is my main thing. You know, when they pull in here, I want it to look world-class and make them feel like, you know, they're getting the best of service. Performance can't be beat.
I couldn't have said it better. Every day, we try to earn the right to be your car dealer as well as your neighbor, and when we say performance can't be beat, we mean it.
Good morning, Aubrey.
Good morning, Ron. You got a good joke for us today?
I do, and this is one of my own.
Uh-oh, I'm scared. Let's hear it then.
A horse walks into a bar, and the bartender says, "Why the long face?"
Oh, no. That was bad.
Please help Ron Stutz by sending us your clean jokes. The Molly Mae Clean Joke of the Day is read every morning at 7:50 a.m. So not only will you receive recognition for being hilarious, but you'll become eligible to win a $100 gift certificate good for Molly Mae House Cleaning, Molly Mae Carpet Cleaning, or Mr. Handyman Services. Not too shabby, huh? So go ahead and send us your jokes to cleanjoke@wchl1360.com.
At home, at work, in the car. News Talk 1360, WCHL, Chapel Hill, Carrboroughs, News Talk and Tar Heel Station.